Great to be here with you. We are talking the next 4 weeks. We're going to be talking about the parables that Jesus spoke about. And we're all familiar, most people are familiar with parables. The real question is, how do we apply these teachings, these analogies to our life? Now, when Jesus would tell a parable, he said, I'm going to tell it to the crowd because after this, you 12, I'm going to pull you aside. I'm going to explain to you what the parables mean. But when he would speak to the crowds, like on the Mount of Olives, he would speak in parables. And he would say things like, the kingdom of God may be compared to a sower. The kingdom of God is like a landowner. The kingdom of God is analogous to someone who had two sons. So he would give an analogy, a teaching that would be applicable. It wouldn't be a real story, but it would be applicable and analogous to the kingdom of God and what God expects from you and I as people. And then later, his disciples said, Jesus, we didn't really get that thing on the parable of the sower. Explain to us. And he'd pull them aside and he would say, these things have been hidden to the multitudes, but they are divulged to you, and blessed are you because you're hearing things that other people don't hear. So we need to hear the parables, and we also need them explained to us so we can apply them to our life, okay? So these analogies, these illustrations, these similes that we're going to be going over are for real life application. They're not just stories that were pertinent to the people back then in the first century AD, but they are pertinent, very pertinent to us today because it is really about the kingdom of God. It is really about when Jesus is coming back. It is really about the way and the governance that Jesus demonstrates in his church and through his kingdom. So I want us to pray together and pray that we would get what God's trying to tell us through this one particular parable on the talents. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that we would not just read this and say, that's a good story, it's interesting. But Father, we would be able to understand what you're trying to tell us individually here and corporately as a church in 2023. Lord, I pray for the spirit of illumination. I pray for the spirit of revelation. And I pray that we would be able to apply this to our lives this day. And we give you praise and glory for it. And everyone said, amen. If you can turn in your Bibles or on your smart device, tablet or phone, we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 32. We can go to the next slide. And this is the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another 1, each according to their own ability. So notice this man, he understands the people under his charge, and he understands something about human nature. Don't give people more than they can handle. So he understood, he was able to accurately analyze what they were capable of, and he gave them the commensurate amount that would meet their ability and their maturity. How many know this is a smart leader? He gave them all according to their ability, and then he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, the one who had received 2 talents went and traded, he gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 talent, he went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, everybody say a long time. After a long time had passed, the master came back to the servants and said, I need you to give an account of the talents I gave you. Verse 20, so he had received the 5 talents, came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents. I've doubled the investment that you made in me, my master. And besides them, he said to the Lord, well done. The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over much. Now, that's not insignificant, ladies and gentlemen. That God always gives us what we can handle, but the way we handle things, the way we mature in being responsible and good stewards of what we do have, God says, now I can bless you with more. That's a good point. So you may think, well, I'm a victim. You know, I didn't do, you know, I can't do this, and I haven't got good grades. Maybe if you would actually study and open up the book and go to class, you might actually develop something that will cause you to study better and able to make good grades. So you can get the job you want. I know this is revolutionary, but going to class and actually studying the material actually helps, okay? I know this is a hard concept to get, particularly when we think everything's owed to us and I should get it through osmosis or just showing up because I'm so clever, it'll just happen. No, it doesn't happen like that. This is a bad word now. It takes something called work. Work. I touch your neighbor and say, I think he's talking to you. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler. Everyone say ruler. I will make you ruler. I'll give you dominion. I'll give you power and prestige. I'll give you the things the world wants to give you. I'll give it to you, but I won't give it to you just because I like you or because you have a nice smile. I'll give it to you because you know how to handle it, and it won't destroy you. And he also said, the one who had received two talents, and he came and said to him, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more talents. Besides him, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Why didn't you give me five talents like the first guy? No, he didn't say that. He said, look, you had two. That was your capability. That was your maturity level. That was what you could handle. Well done, good and faithful servant. Can I tell you what? We don't have to compare with the five talent, with the two talent, and the one. All we have to do is be faithful with the little bit we do have. God doesn't ask us to compete with a church of 5,000 members. He doesn't ask us to compete with Brother George over here or Sister Susie. All we have to do is take the talents we have and be faithful with that, and God is going to be pleased with us according to our ability and our capability. He received two. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Notice the reward is the same for both one. The one who had five and the one who had two. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. He who is faithful with little will be faithful over much. Then our third candidate, who had received the one talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. I thought you were a tough taskmaster. You were kind of judgmental. You were hard, and that's the way I thought you, reaping where you had not sown, gathering where you scattered no seed. And because I was afraid of you, you're the problem, master, not me. Because I was afraid of you and the way you might treat me potentially, I went and hid your talent that you gave me. And see, you have what is yours. Here's the talent. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy slave. You wicked, lazy slave. You knew, or at least you said you knew, that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. So you ought to have deposited my money in the bank. And at my coming, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent away from this wicked, lazy slave and give it to the man who has 10. Boy, that's a lot different than what we think, isn't it? We kind of view things, well, I'm a victim. I don't have very much. And other people who are prosperous should give to us because, you know, I'm a victim. I'm down and out. But God has a different view of stuff. He goes, no. You were wicked. You were lazy. You had opportunity. You spoiled it. You weren't a good steward of your time. You didn't invest the little I did have so I could bless you with another talent. Give it to the one who is faithful because I want a return on my investment. This is a parable of the talent. This is Jesus saying the kingdom of God is like a master who gave out talents. And so we see this and we think, wow, that's kind of bad. I don't want to be the one guy. I want to be the five-talent guy. Or I want to be the two-talent guy. And I want to be faithful with what God has given me. He goes on to say, for everyone who has, more will be given. And he who has an abundance, but even what he does not have, was taken away from him, will be given to another. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then he will sit on his throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. This is the story. This is the analogy. And it is not a true story, but it gives us insight and truth to what the kingdom of God is like and what Jesus is going to look for on the last day. He's looking for faithful stewards that will take the little bit, if you only have two, or the lot of bit, the abundance that you have, and multiply it and be good stewards and bless him at the end of the age. Amen. That's the story. Now, how do we apply that today in 2023? First of all, let's understand what he's talking about here. What's this word stewardship? Stewardship. We don't hear that much, but a steward, it's Old English. We get it from the Greek word okinomos, which means an employee that manages an entire household. It's someone who is the overseer. They steward the house. They pay the bills, they pay the electric, they clean the house, they mow the lawn, they take care of the master's home. It isn't their home, but they're in charge and they are steward over someone else's property. Can you tell you what? Every one of us in here are stewards. You say, it's my life. It isn't your life, sweetheart. Can I tell you what? You had no choice on where you were born and who your parents were. You had no choice. You're not going to have any choice on where you die and who's at your funeral. In fact, when some of you die, you're going to be shocked that a lot of people didn't come to your funeral that you thought would come to your funeral. It's not your life. It's God's life. He's given us this thing called life to steward. And there are a lot of factors and things that we're not in control of, so it really is enough our life, even though we think it is, because we're living it and we make choices. So this word stewardship is meant to be an overseer, someone who manages well the things that God has given you. And we're going to talk about some of the things God has given you. Now, let's talk about the amount that God gave these men. A talent back in this day and age was equivalent to 6,000 denarii. And a denarii was one day's wager. So this was a significant amount of money. Even the one who only had one or two talents, this was significant. The one who had three or the one who had five. So you're looking at the 6,000 days worth of labor, the payment in one talent. And so whatever you make in one day, multiply that by 6,000. That's what that one talent would be for you. You see? And he's saying, be faithful with what you have. And he gave it out. Remember what he did. He gave it out according to their ability, according to their capability. Therefore, when the Bible refers to stewards, it's talking about the fact that God, not us, God owns everything. Yet he gives us certain things in life to manage, not for our glory, but for his glory. What are we doing with our life? What are we doing with our money? What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our imagination? What are we doing with our thoughts that would bring God glory? You say, well, I've got 140 IQ. It doesn't really matter if you're concentrating on things that are secular and worldly. It has no benefit for the kingdom. You're wasting your talent. You're wasting your ability. You're wasting the very thing that God gave you to be great and bring him glory and help other people so that you can be honored on the day of judgment. Rather, you're spending it on your own lust. You're spending it on your own frivolous things that you think would make you happy. And that's the trap of our century. That's the trap of our culture. It's all about me. It's all about what can I get. It's all about who likes me. It's how many likes can I get on my Facebook or my Twitter feed or who can, you know, and it's a trap, ladies and gentlemen. God is saying, no, no, no. The reason I've given you fame and fortune or anything is not for you. It's to bring me glory and to multiply it so you can help others. It's others. How do we take this task determines how we please God, and this will we will have to give an account one day for our lives as we lived on earth. And that's what he's saying, bring them to me. I gave 1-5, 1-2, 1-1, and then after a long time he came back and said, okay, show me what you did. Let me see your accounts. What did you do with all the things I gave you? And two were very happy. The third was very dismayed. And God didn't say, well, you came from a bad family, and you didn't have 5, or you didn't have 2. You only drove a Ford. You didn't have a Mercedes, so I understand. No, he's not going to do that. He said, look, you had a Ford. What'd you do with it? What'd you do with it? You know, whatever. Ford's a good car, by the way. I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just saying it's not a Mercedes or a Lamborghini. You understand? But you'd be amazed how many people think, I'm handicapped because I don't have $100,000. I don't have $100,000 either. But my wife does. But anyway, so you're not handicapped because of what you don't have. You are in the positive because of what you do have. All I got is $8,000. Hey, praise God. You're way ahead of the game, sweetheart. Most people would love to have your bank account. Sitting in this room right here, some of these students, would love to have that. Yeah, hallelujah. They'd be thinking, oh, glory to God. $8,000? Now I can go to Chico's. You understand what I'm saying? It's not what you don't have. It's what you do have that counts. Most of us say, well, God, if I just had this, if I just had that. No, 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 no. You've got enough. Why don't you show up with what you do have and do what God's called you to do with what you do have, and he will give you more. I try not to preach, but anyway, I wanted to teach. Let me tell you something about stewardship. God gives gifts that are embryonic. They don't look like much. You ever seen an ultrasound and you see a little baby? It doesn't really look. You can tell it's a baby, but it doesn't look like the finished product. You understand what I'm saying? Looks much different. The gifts you and I have are embryonic. We can tell, you know, there's something to it, but it's not the finished product, you know. And so God says, I want you to nurture this thing. I want you to steward this thing. I want you to feed it. I want you to grow it, because in this little embryonic thing that doesn't look like much, there is a mighty gift that will cause you to really have influence. And you will be able to exert this thing called the glory of God through your life, and others will know that God is in your life because of this little embryonic thing that you don't think much of. You've diminished it. Yet God can use it if you'll grow it, if you'll tend to it, if you'll nurture it, if you'll feed it, if you'll say, it's not as much as him or her maybe, but that's okay. My eyes are on what you gave me, God. You gave me what I could handle, not what I thought I could handle. Thank God I can handle this, and I'm going to grow it, and I'm going to mature it, and I'm going to be diligent. Amen. Amen. Lock the door, men. Don't let them out. We're about to hit pay dirt here. It's embryonic. Notice the parable. Stewardship has to do with, next slide. It's a slow feed, isn't it? Yeah, stewardship. Very slow feed. I almost fell asleep between those slides. Stewardship, number one, notice the principles. Each person was given the quantity of talents according to their ability. How many know you don't give a 12-year-old kid keys to your car to drive on the freeway? How many know that? The rest of you meet with me afterwards, I'll tell you why. You don't do that. You say, well, he's smart. Yeah, but he's also reckless. You don't do that. So God is smarter than you and I. He gives us what we can handle. He gives us that which will not destroy us. But if we nurture it and we grow it from that embryonic seed, it can be something of a blessing, not just to us, but to others around us. Each person was given the quantity of talents according to their ability. Two, each person's perception of the master affected what they did with their talent. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. See, how you view God is going to determine with what you do with the gift that God gives you. You say, well, I can't sing. I wanted to go, you know, I've got a vocal background and my mama sang. And, you know, and I asked Corey and Diana, I had a special to do and they turned me down. I couldn't do my special on Sunday. Why? Why, God? Well, because what you were going to present wasn't so special. That's probably why. You see, so it's not what you don't have, it's what you do have. And God is trying to let you understand that your perception of him and the gifts you have are very important. Now, if you view God as a hard taskmaster, someone who doesn't love you, who he's just hard and driving, you're going to be fearful. But if you see God as an abundant God, a God who wants to bless you, a God who wants to give to you, a God who wants to give you a second chance. How many know you've already had second chances? Look to the person next to you and say, I've had a lot of second chances. So some of you could go home now because you got the message. Can I tell you what? We are trophies of God's grace, not of our hard work or of our diligence. It's God's grace that you're sitting here. It's by God's grace that I'm standing here. And the gifts he gives you, when you view God as a graceful, benevolent God, and it's only one little embryonic thing that doesn't look as impressive, but I'm going to nurture it, and I'm going to feed into it, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to be a good steward, and I'm going to be standing when this thing is all wrapped up, and I'm going to be saying and hearing the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. But it was only one talent, God. It was only two. It wasn't 20, it wasn't 10, it wasn't 50. It was only two. He goes, I know. Well done. You were faithful with what I gave you to do. Each servant's perception of the master affected what they did in their life. We need to have a good view of God, an accurate view of God. He's righteous, he's holy, but he's merciful. He's merciful. He's perfect. He's just in all of his ways, but he's also merciful in giving us second chances and giving us the things that we don't deserve. So we serve a good God. Number three, each person had to give an account for the use of their talents. How many love tests at the end of the semester? If you raise your hand, I know you're a liar. You're not supposed to lie in church either. You know, we hate it. Why? We don't want to be called out on things we don't know or things we didn't prepare for. None of us like that. But can I tell you what? There's always an examination in God's configuration of life and the way God judges his people. We have to give an account. We can't fake the funk. We can't just pretend. You know, how many have done public speaking or had to get in there and you just made up something and hoped that they would? I did that one time. I got an F. It was terrible. I thought, well, man, I'll scam them and just, you know, it was terrible. But what was crazy, I was stupid enough to believe I could get away with it. Yeah. Don't sit there and look at me. You did it too. We have to give an account. One day the test is going to be shown. Did we show up? Did we study? Did we do the hard yards? Did we say, you know what? This is your gift, God. It's not mine. This is your life you gave me, not mine. I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to do something with my life. Amen. Not just sit around, watch TV, go to football games, eat pizza, hang around, play Xbox. You know, I'm not against entertainment, and I'm certainly not against you having a day off. I am against you wasting your life. I'm against you wasting your talent. I'm against that. Faithfulness, number four. Faithfulness brings increase. Everyone say increase. While inaction brings loss. You suffer loss when you're inactive. How many have ever taken an anatomy physiology class? Yeah, they teach you stuff. My degree was in that, anatomy and physiology. There's a thing called atrophy and hypertrophy. Now, these fancy terms just simply means hypertrophy, and Ron can tell you this. Hypertrophy means that you work a muscle or a muscle set to the point where you start getting what we call a pump, or you get buffed, or you get chiseled, or you get bad, you big and bad, whatever you want to term. Hypertrophy means when that muscle gets big and strong. It's the one where you see the guys, they just walk around with these tank tops and everything and just kind of flexing. Like, give me that spoon over there. And I know. You've been eating at Florida State. I know. It's amazing. So what are they doing? They're showing off their hypertrophy. In other words, you've pumped those muscles, and you've strained them, and you break them down until they get bigger and bigger. That's good. It's called getting buffed or getting pumped, as far as your mesomorph physicality is concerned, without confusing anymore. Atrophy is just the opposite. Is when you once had muscles, and it goes the other way. We've all seen that. I mean, I played football, and we had guys that would take steroids and Dynabol. Ron knows about this too when he was playing. But people take it. Guys, Ben knows about it. All right. Let's bow our heads now. No. These guys were cheating. They were taking, and I did it too. And I could remember the guys that came in fall camp. They looked like hulks, man. They were just buffed. And I'm thinking, man, these guys look, they were scary. You know, and I did the same thing too. But I remember after they would test us, I remember I had to stop taking it. And after fall camp, I looked like a, refugee, skinny and, they were. And so what happened? It went from hypertrophy to atrophy. It started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Can I tell you what? That's a principle in God's stewardship. The more you work at something, the bigger and the stronger you'll be. There was a guy named Kevin Connor. He was what I would call a super Bible scholar. He was in Australia. And just, I love that man. Humble. He knew the Bible. You could just quote a scripture and he'd tell you where it's at. He'd give you exactly where it was. I didn't care what scripture was. You say, where's that scripture about speaking in tongues? He'd tell you and tell you when Paul wrote it, and then he'd give the connecting scriptures and the other references. It was like Google. It was like Google Scholar on the Bible. And he read the Bible all the time, and so he had spent time in the Bible. He was brilliant, you see, because he had spent time nurturing this gift. And he was a brilliant Bible teacher, and just people from all over the world would come just to have lunch with him and listen to him talk and elucidate on Scripture. He was that brilliant. Renee and I had the privilege of being good friends with him in Melbourne, Australia. He actually asked me to speak at his church. I was so scared. I thought, God, if I do anything wrong, he's going to say, heretic, or no, that's wrong, I'm sorry. So when you work hard, when you do things that God has gifted you to do, it brings increase. You get bigger, you get stronger. Not so people can say, oh, isn't he big and isn't he strong? No, so you can lift more weight. Uh-huh. See, being muscular is not so you can take your shirt off at the beach and get other people to look at you. It's so you can keep your shirt on and make sure it's not tight and keep it loose so nobody knows who you are until you start lifting the weight and then they think, this guy's buffed. He's strong. It's not about me getting attention. It's about me getting the job done. That's why God wants you strong. He's not so you can have your Facebook or your all the attention that the world gives you on the social media platforms. It's not about that. It's about being something that God uses to bring him glory, not give us glory. Faithfulness brings increase. It makes you big. It makes you strong. Not so people say, aren't you big and strong, but wow, do you see how much they moved? Did you see what they lifted in that person's life? Did you see how they brought about victory when there was defeat? It wasn't because they were trying to be the man or the woman. It was because they were prepared to lift the weight that set the captive free. Amen. Can I tell you something? Life is risky. Notice the wicked slave. He said, I knew you to be a hard man, Lord. You would require money where you didn't sow seed, and I was afraid, and I hid your money. Can I say what? Life is not meant to be safe, ladies and gentlemen. It's a risky business to be a Christian. The safe life is the riskiest one of all. You know why? Because it risks wasting itself. You can take it easy. You can play it safe. You go, oh, I just want to be a nice Christian. I just don't want to offend anybody. I just, you know, I'll keep it personal. And I'll go to church when, you know, and that's nice. And No. God wants you to take risks, because the real risk is you're going to lose the very talent God gave you, life, your life to live through and to use. I'm getting so encouraged by this word. I need to hear this. It's risky. You take risk. That's why Renee and I are going to pray. We're going to pray about what we can do for this building campaign, not because we got a lot of money just sitting around. We don't. We're going to do it because we want to fix the gutters. We want a new sign. We don't want just a regular sign. We want a big sign. So we need big money. We need people who say, it's not about my grocery bill or me going on vacation. Thank God if you get to go on vacation. But what is God saying to do with your ability to raise resources to advance his kingdom? And we're going to believe God. Where is she at? She's somewhere in here. Listen to the podcast afterwards, honey. But if wherever you're at, we're going to believe God. That's going to make us uncomfortable. Well, we'll give 250. We'll give 500. We'll give 1,000. No. I want to give like 10% of the total cost. That's why. Because we have it in the bank account? No, because we don't have it. And I trust in a true God, a great God, who can meet my needs and use me as a vehicle on this earth to bring about glory and fix our gutters so we can get more people in here. Amen. Life is risky. Take a risk. You got to take a risk. There's a poem about a guy who was fearful and afraid. Let's see if I can remember. It says, I don't remember. I'm going to miss it. There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked or never tried. He never sang or prayed. And then one day he passed away. His insurance was denied. For since he never really lived, they claimed he never died. You want to play it safe? You got your little bank account, got your little toys, your little trinkets. Or do you want to be able to stand on the day of judgment and hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant? Yeah. Let's look at the internal properties of talents. Now, talents aren't just money. They're literally your abilities, which you can do, things that you can do that God has gifted you in. We look at the internal properties. We see things like thoughts, physical talents like singing or dancing or entrepreneurial talents. We've got people in here who are entrepreneurial people. They make money. They just make money. They do it real easy. They don't really have to try. It's a gift that God has given them. Your conscience is a talent. Ideas are talents. Your mind, your affection and your emotions are talents. Can I tell you something? Whatever occupies your mind or your thoughts will dominate your life. That's why you've got to make sure I'm thinking God's thoughts after him. I'm thinking what the Bible says, not what my flesh wants, or not what the world says I should want. I'm thinking what God wants me to have. Those are all internal. You can't see them. I can't see your thoughts. I can't see your emotions, except when you cry or laugh. But I can't see those things. They're internal, but they are nonetheless talents that you have and can cultivate and steward. And then there's external talents. There's things like land and estates, money, the ability to speak, freedom of speech, bodily health. We need to take care of our body, our vessel. Possessions. You need to wash your car. You need to change the oil of your car. You need to get a checkup. Some of you got convicted on that one. I know. Oil? They use oil? Yeah, oil. Change the oil. Your possessions. You said, that's mine. No, it's not. It's, God gave it to you. It's yours, but it's yours to give out because it's an extension of a talent that you have, that you didn't earn, that really came from God. Your public activity, what are you doing, not just on Sunday in church, what are you doing for the kingdom of God publicly. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, particularly Saturday night. What are you doing? What am I doing? Stewardship, their talents. How are we stewarding these things? Let me give you the four final principles of stewardship. One, we are, whether you like it or not, we are stewards of human life, lives in their welfare. The people who babysit these children, in the children's, they are stewards of little souls, little lives. We have security team in here. Guess, can I tell you what? If, God forbid, if there were something that were to happen, a violent person came here and tried to hurt someone, we have means to alleviate that threat real quick. Guess what? We are stewards of welfare of others. You're stewards of welfare of others. We're stewards of our time and our opportunities. Anybody here ever had something happen and you thought, wow, I just missed a great opportunity? Anybody besides me? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, God, give me another chance. I won't blow it this time. Are we looking for God's opportunities, or are we looking about how I can just feed my own selfish pleasure and my comfort and just stay selfish in my little cocoon and have all the little nuances and things that control secular life and not worry about the judgment day, because one day it's coming, and if I can just numb myself, I can just be entertained for maybe another day or another week. Can I say what? You're going to wake up and realize I've wasted an opportunity. Don't do that. I beg you. The kingdom of God is like a master who gave out talents. You have talents that God's given you. You say, I only have two. Well, praise God. You say, I only have one. Well, you've got something. You may have five. You may be a 10-talent person. God bless you. What do you do with it? What am I going to do with it? That's what counts. We are stewards of our assets and our resources. And number four, we are stewards of our energy and attention. You know what the rudest thing you can do to somebody when they're listening to you or they're talking to you or feeling is to get on your phone? So, wait a minute. I was just telling you that, you know, my mother died. My grandmother has had a stroke, and you're worried about some news feed. You're worried about some text message. How are we stewarding ourselves when we're with people? Do you really communicate you're important to me? I care about you? Put the stupid phone away. I can answer a text anytime. I can respond to an email anytime. I don't need to answer that call. You are important. Why? Because you're important to God. I need to steward this relationship. Amen? Amen? Yes. I'm preaching to myself. We can all get caught up in it. We can all get caught up into it. How you give people attention, how you respect people, tells that person a lot about what you think about them. So important. We have to steward our attention. We have to steward our energy. Sometime back, we had an opportunity. There was a person who in our church who had some things that needed to be moved out of a large unit. That they had all this stuff in there, and it was jam packed. It was had all kind of stuff, and it was on my day off, and I thought, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to. Have you ever talked to God like, God, is there, you know, I know they need help, but Lord, you know, I'm a minister and I pray, and I went on a mission trip one time for you, Lord. Remember that, Lord? And you know, and we try to barter with God. And I remember thinking, you know, this person needs help. I'm going to go help this person. And I remember getting there, and I had to just make myself do it. And you know what? When I got into it, we had other people that came along. They helped. But just to see the joy on that individual's face with all these people who showed up to help when she didn't have the means to do it herself. And I thought, you know what? This was more rewarding than going out to eat at a fine restaurant or going to a movie or any of these other things that I had planned. I had so much joy in helping a person who had no means to help themselves and had no means to pay me back. Wow. I said, thank you, God. I thank you, God. I'm glad I did this. I didn't want to. My flesh was against it. I wanted to take the easy way. I wanted to be comfortable and convenient and take my day off. But I am so glad I utilized my energy and my time to be a good steward of someone who needed help. That's what the kingdom of God is about, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about how good we preach or how nice we dress or what kind of car we drive in. It's what have we done and what are we going to do with the talents God has given us. Let's bow our heads. I want to pray. Rachel, would you come on up, please? Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for this parable. That this is about your kingdom and about your people that you've gifted. Lord, I'm praying today that we would all be able to say, Lord, I want to be like the 5-talent person. I want to be like the 2-talent person. And God, I don't want to be like the 3rd steward who was not a good steward at all. He was not good with his talents, Lord. In that he didn't make the most of his opportunity. He squandered his chances. He squandered his assets and resources and his opportunities for just because he was afraid, because he didn't want to take a risk. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would learn from this talent, because the kingdom of God is like this. And as we apply it to our life, that we would say no to our flesh and say no to the comfort and convenience of this world and say yes to God's talents that he's given us. Your heads are down, your eyes are closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Ken, this word was for me. I need to do some internal accounting. I need to do some adjustments in my life. And I want to be a good steward. I have not been a good steward. And I, from this point on, I want to move forward in nurturing and stewarding this gift according to God's plan and according to his grace in my life. If you're here today and you need to pray that prayer, I want you to lift your hand straight up in the air. Just pray. Say, I need to pray it. Whatever it is, whatever area it may be. It may be in study. It may be in tithing. It may be in sharing your faith. It may be in reading your Bible. It just may be in your relationship with God. Whatever area it is, just lift your hand up. Father, I thank you right now in Jesus' name that we repent from being bad stewards, that we realize one day we will give an account. Father, one day we will give an account. Lord, that you want to bless us with increase. And Lord, we don't need to suffer want or suffer lack. And Father, we are not afraid of risk, because in the risk, we give ourselves away and we prove that you are a faithful God who can bless us in the midst of our life. So Lord, let us be good stewards. Let us give our life to the welfare of others. Let us not waste time and opportunities, God. Let us not waste our asset and resources. And Lord, help us to steward our energy and our attention so we can bless others and bring glory to your name. So, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your truth. And Lord, let us be people who live by the principle that this talent teaches. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.